I want to thank the worship team for leading us into God's presence this morning. At this time, the children can be dismissed to Children's Church. And about a month ago when we started the series on Teach Us to Pray, Liz Lobdell had asked about the possibility of sharing just some things that she's discovered over the last year. You remember when they left us and then came back? There's a lot of stuff you may not know about the story of how God was working during that time. So I'm going to invite Liz to come and share. But it really, I think, fits the idea of what we're as we finish out the Lord's Prayer today, to hear how specifically God was leading one of our families, both in their departure and their return. I was much happier with the return than the departure, but I just want to encourage you. There's a special sense of God's presence right now, and as leaders, we've been talking a lot, and even the reason we're focusing on prayer during this fall, and we're moving to focus on worship and the theme of worship the first of the year after the holidays. We want when we come together, we gather together. There's a lot of things you can get out. You can get as many sermons as you want easily. If you didn't know that, I mean, you can get a podcast, you can get whatever you want. But there's something special that happens when we gather together in Christ's name to worship and gather together and connecting with one another and hearing each other's stories. So we've been really seeking as a leadership team just to say, how can we really emphasize and focus on the issue of drawing together and lifting up Christ in our worship and really seeking his presence, but also allowing us to connect with one another. And we definitely encourage you just to open up your hearts to hear what God has put on Liz's heart to share this morning.
I wrote it down so I didn't forget anything, so I'm going to read it. When we first started talking about prayer a month ago, the Spirit moved me that this was the time to share our journey. Most of you know that my husband Ben and I felt called to move to Pittsburgh, and 4 months later, to the day, got called to move back. This all started when Ben came home and we were discussing him applying for a job as a full-time firearms instructor with a company called Impax in Pittsburgh. I said, sure. It was his dream job and we had family in the area. 18 months and over 40 candidates later, Ben was offered a full-time job. Through all the training and the weekends away, we prayed that if this is what you want, you'll guide us correctly. Ben was a police officer by trade, moved into the public school as a teacher, teaching criminal justice at the Career Center. Over his 7 years as a teacher, there he grew a reputation and respect with the students. It was a high stress, and honestly, I believe that if God hadn't given him the opportunity in Pittsburgh, it would have ultimately ended my husband's life early. He had a good job, good insurance, and it was stable. Ben continually questioned if we were doing the right thing. We prayed and prayed, but I kept having this voice say, go. Well, it wasn't easy. Ben started his job in Pittsburgh July 30th, 2018. I was due with our third child beginning of August, and the oldest was going into kindergarten. We didn't have a place for all of us to live, so Ben commuted. I just prayed that he would make it home for the birth of Ella, and he was. Prayer answered. Next came a place for us to live with the goal of being together under one roof by Christmas. Ben had a coworker that's family had an empty house on a family farm. It wasn't perfect, and it had its flaws, but yet again, another answered prayer. On September 27th, with the help of most of you, we packed up a U-Haul and headed to our new home. Our house was on the market here in Warren, and it showed quite a lot, but we kept hearing it's not complete. I kept praying, okay, God, you'll bring the right person. We personally showed the house Christmas Eve and thought that this might be it. Yet again, we were turned down. We were deflated and paying bills on two houses started to pile up. Ben sat in many financial meetings at work, and he would come home and we would talk about how things were going. The answer was, I think they bit off more than they could chew. Cuts were going to start happening, so maybe the kids and I should move back. So we prayed and prayed for about 3 weeks until we finally felt like we were being called back to Warren. We didn't tell many people, but on January 28th, which also happened to be our anniversary that we totally forgot about, we packed another U-Haul and moved back. We were welcomed with, once again, many of you to help unload our house back into our house. Ben applied as a federal prison and takes an interview the first Friday in February and walks out with a conditional offer. He lets Impacts know that he will only be there for another month. A coworker pulls him aside the following Wednesday, just 5 days later, and says, "I'm glad you got that job. I just found out that you and I were going to be cut to part-time starting Friday." Ben calls me and tells me this, and I just start crying because God knew what he was doing. He knew that we needed to leave to get Ben out of the public school and needed to come back so we still had insurance, a stable job, family, and friends. Even though we might not understand why he's asking us to do something through prayer, he will guide you to do what his plan is for your life.
Yeah, I didn't plan a few minutes to compose myself. If you want to turn in your Bible, we're again Matthew 6, looking at 11 through 13, again looking at the Lord's Prayer. There's three themes we're looking at today, both coming to God and asking him to give us our daily bread, which is an issue of dependence upon him. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors, which is a posture of having grace and forgiveness not only received but given, but also the call to lead us not into temptation but deliver us from evil. Those three key themes of dependency upon God, receiving and offering forgiveness, and leading, seeking God's leading, they're all connected, and they remind us about what we've already discussed so far as we've reflected on the Lord's Prayer. Remember the previous part of the prayer, we focused on the fact that we're spending time with our Heavenly Father. It's our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And prioritizing that time, when we remember the Luke account of this, is it started with Jesus' disciples asking Jesus, "Teach us to pray." They looked at Jesus' life, they looked at his example, and knew that even in the midst of the crowds pressing against him, Jesus would often, didn't just say would withdraw, he would often withdraw to pray. He found times of silence and solitude to be with his Father. And if Jesus had us to do that, it's pretty safe that we need to be prioritizing that time. And there's an aspect of spending time in God's presence. There's something special, like in our worship time this morning, of experiencing God's presence. I think cultivating a prayer life is a way of continuing that throughout the week. That we're really taking time each day to say, I'm going to sit, I'm going to be with my Father. We also looked at the second part of that and about the kingdom and asking for God's will to be done in our life. And part of our prayer, too often I think our prayers, we go right to intercession and our need, and we forget that part of prayer is knowing God's will and aligning ourselves with his will. And so that's where we've been so far in the Lord's Prayer, of spending time with our Heavenly Father, seeking his kingdom and aligning our lives with his kingdom, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to pick up in verse 11 today, and we're going to focus on the three themes of these remaining verses. But let's go ahead and read verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Give us this day our daily bread. These are going to be short reflections. I wanted to give Liz as much time as possible. So I really wanted to zero in and just focus on the key thought of each of these and encourage you to think about your prayer life, to say, how am I doing this? When I go to prayer and spending time with the Father each day, am I seeking to, as I align myself with his call in my life and his kingdom, am I also approaching him with this thought of, give us this day our daily bread? How many of you, when you go to prayer, typically have some need? weighing on your heart. You know, most of us. You have some concern. You have some basic need. And really, the idea of the bread would be considered the most basic need for the person that's praying this to the Lord. Anytime I hear the issue of need, I always think of my mom asking 100 times, is this a need or a want? And I'm glad that God gives us he's open to us bringing our wants as well. But there's something powerful in the truth that God not only knows our needs, even before we ask them, he knows our needs. My friend Bob, man, how often have I heard him share, God is not surprised by this. He knows our needs ahead of time. He knows, and yet there's something about us coming. I mean, we're not telling God anything he doesn't already know, but there's something about us taking the need and bringing it to him and saying, give us this day our daily bread. This is my need for today. I think, again, it's the idea, why do I have to tell God something that he already knows? It's because of what it does in us. We can try to just muster through life and just say, well, I'm just going to power on. And we try to approach life in our own strength. There's something powerful that happens when we have a posture of dependence upon God, a perspective that understands that I need him. And I need him to provide for those needs. And I encourage you to think as you go to prayer, just asking that question, are you trusting God to provide for your needs today? Emphasis on that issue of today. Because I think most of us would like to say, God, give us our needs, our bread for the next week. There's that one little word that changes the whole perspective here. It's give us our daily bread, which means we have to trust him for our needs for this day, but then tomorrow there's going to be new needs. and we have to trust him again tomorrow and the next day. It's understanding that we have to trust in that moment. As I hear Liz share this morning, I think of that idea of needing guidance and direction. Throughout most of my life, when I've been seeking the Lord's leading, like Liz and Ben were doing not that long ago, I wanted the roadmap. I wanted the full picture of what God was calling me to do. But there's something about how God calls us that he wants us to trust him in the moment without necessarily knowing every step along the way to where he's leading us. Remember Abraham, who became Abraham, his call in Genesis 12. It's leave everything you know and go to the land that I will show you. Most of us, that doesn't sit real well with us. If you're going to leave everything you have, everything you know, you want to know what the plan is. But God invites us in a relationship of faith that is reflected in this part of the Lord's Prayer. He invites us into a relationship of dependence upon him, trusting him moment by moment, day by day. We see that illustrated even in God caring for his people in the wilderness. And the account of the daily having to go out and collect the manna, the bread that came from heaven that God provided. Remember the instruction? Were they supposed to collect a week's worth? No, they were supposed to collect what you need for the day. You see that because it forces them to realize, look, I'll trust that God's providing for today, but tomorrow I'm going to have to trust that he will provide for my needs that day as well. This week, when you spend time with your Heavenly Father, take your need, take your concerns, and go to him with the confidence to know that he knows your needs, but he wants you to give those things to him, and that we can trust him to meet our needs for the day. The second part of these verses is the call to forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And now if you know the Lord's Prayer, sometimes some people say debtors, some people say trespasses. And what's interesting in the ESV version here, we see both debtors used here in the previous verse, but then down in verses 14 through 15, it says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Whether we use the term debtors or trespasses, which are both in this account in Matthew 6, we're talking about our sin. And understanding the idea of sin as a debt, I think, is helpful to understand really the implication of sin in our life and in relationship to God and in relationship to others. I've heard a lot of people, and some of you have used this, and I know some of the men have used this account I've heard many times of in relationships, that the relationship you have with someone else is like a bank account, and you either make deposits or you make withdrawals. When you make a deposit, it's so you're doing something good in that relationship, and so you're feeding the relationship, you're developing that relationship. But when you take a withdrawal, when you say something stupid or you do something to hurt that person, you offend that person. It's a withdrawal in against that account, and that's a picture of what sin is. It's a debt. It's a debt in that relationship, and we understand that God has paid the ultimate penalty, or he paid the ultimate price to pay the penalty of our sin and the debt that we carried. In sending Jesus to the cross, Jesus took all of our sin, all of the debt of our sin, the weight of our sin upon himself, that our accounts could be clear, that we could know him and be restored to relationship with him. But what's interesting in this verse is that it's not just Father, forgive us, and then moving on. There's a clear link between forgiving us our debts as we have also have forgiven our debtors. We see both in the Lord's Prayer, and we see this in other places, in Jesus telling the parable of the unmerciful servant. I remember the story that the unmerciful servant has an incredible debt that he owes his master, and the master forgives him that debt. But then he goes and he turns around and starts demanding payment of a small debt from a fellow servant. And so the master hears this and he throws them into prison for not showing the same mercy to his fellow servant that he received from himself. The Christian life is a call to not only receiving grace and receiving mercy, but is living a life of offering grace and mercy to those around us. And sometimes that's really hard. Sometimes people hurt us deeply. People we trust, people we love, and God calls us to forgive. There's no exception to that. I firmly believe that often, sometimes the offering of forgiveness is something that it's a reminder we can't do it in and of our own strength. But God calls us to not only receive his grace, receive his mercy, but to offer that grace and mercy to others. When we think of the size of our sin debt, how do we then turn around and not forgive someone else's offense against us? Especially when we realize we're all broken people. And we all need that grace and forgiveness. Today, I want to encourage you to be reflecting in your own life and ask yourself, are you not only regularly going to God, keeping clean accounts in your walk with the Lord? Too often, I think we lose intimacy with God. We lose that feeling of closeness with God because we tolerate sin in our life. We tolerate some offense in our life, and we don't go to God and seek his forgiveness and receive that fresh filling of his love and his grace and his mercy, to know that we don't have to live in our sin. We are forgiven. We have the hope that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, but we have to confess those things to him. So in your daily prayer, are you praying a prayer like David prayed at the end of Psalm 139, where he basically says, God, search me, test me, try me, see if there's any offensive way in me, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Relationship is at the heart of prayer. And us coming to God daily and seeking to seek his forgiveness, we're keeping a clean account with God so that we can walk in intimacy with him. But God expects that we're not only receiving that, but we're also offering it. So not when, but when someone offends us, unless you're living in a bubble, someone will offend you this week. How will you react? Will you offer grace and will you offer forgiveness? The last part of the prayer today that we're going to focus on is the issue of being led. And I knew this was a key theme of Liz's testimony today, too, of seeking God's leading. The specific prayer is to lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so you have this idea that the idea of temptation could be a time of testing, a trial. And so you're praying for God to not only lead us, but specifically not to lead us in trials that might lead us to sin, lead us to a place where we would be vulnerable to falling. But there's a picture here of really taking God by the hand and say, guide us through this mess that we have to walk through in life. Because I think are you all at that place that you realize that we're surrounded by temptations at all times? Sometimes though, we put ourselves in very vulnerable situations because instead of seeking the Lord's leading, we kind of coast or drift. And we tolerate things in our life that put us in a vulnerable place and in a vulnerable situation where then when we fall, we think, well, God, why did you let that happen? It's always amazing to me how many times we blame God for our own stupidity. I'm speaking to myself on that. I'm not calling any of you stupid. I think we've all been, anyone else been there? That you drift and you just, instead of just focusing on where God wants to lead us, we try to just navigate life and we make some stupid decisions. We think we're invincible and that we don't have to worry about the temptation or the trial or something that might lead us astray. And we place ourselves in a vulnerable situation. And then the temptation comes and we feel overwhelmed. Daily, if we seek the Lord in our prayer time to say, Lord, not only lead me, I'm surrendering my heart, I'm surrendering my life so that you might lead me. There's the two aspects here. It's the leading us away from the temptation and delivering us from the evil. That's leading us away from the negative. But in seeking God's leading, we also understand that it's we want God to lead us in paths of righteousness. Remember Psalm 23. He restores my soul. The great shepherd restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Too often we take this defensive posture when it comes to evil or sin and temptation in our life, and so we try to navigate throughout life to say, well, I'm going to try my best not to sin. I'm going to try my best not to fall short. Instead, how would our focus and our attention be different if we say, Lord, lead me in your righteousness today. Lead me in a place where my hand is firmly gripped to yours and I'm fully trusting you and your leading and your guidance today so that I'd be doing the things that you've called me to do. Yesterday at the men's event, I did a reflection, brief reflection on David. And it's always amazed me in the account of David is that when it introduces the story of Bathsheba and David's fall, it's so clear right in the beginning of that chapter and saying, well, it was in the season that kings were out leading their men in battle. And then it goes on to describe David on the roof while his men are out fighting. David wasn't doing what God had called him to be doing. And that placed him in a vulnerable situation that really had an impact not only on his personal life, but on the kingdom and upon his whole family. In our lives, we need to seek the Lord's leading. We need to be willing to be in a place that we're fully surrendered, that we're yielding. Galatians 5 and the picture of being of walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit is an issue of surrender and just being in a place to say, God, lead me today. Guide me and direct me. The image, and I know I've shared this before, but the image for me that is helpful for this understanding of God's leading is I remember both Bryce and Katie when they were at that age where I didn't trust them, especially like in a parking lot where there might be a lot of traffic and I didn't know where the car would be coming out. And both of them went through phases. I think it may have been more Katie, but both of them went through phases where they did not want to grab my hand. They were try to communicate an independence that say, I'm okay. Dad, I don't need your hand to guide me. And I had a rule. In a parking lot, you take my hand. If we're near the street, you take my hand. Because I saw the danger there, and I was trying to communicate the dangers that they didn't really fully understand. But have you ever tried to lead a child who didn't want to be led? I mean, there are times, you feel like you're dragging them. That's the image, I think, of certain seasons in my life where God was trying to lead me, and I was being like that stubborn kid saying, I'm fine on my own. I don't need to be led. I think that helps us understand why the idea of pride goes before the fall. Because pride, at the heart of pride, is a self-sufficiency that thinks that I don't need someone else. I don't need God's help. I don't need his leading. I don't need his empowerment. I don't need whatever it is that he needs to give us. Having a childlike faith that Jesus calls us to is recognizing, God, I need to take your hand. I need you to lead me. To navigate the dangers in this life, to navigate the evil that I will encounter, to navigate the evil that I would seek out even because of the own sin within my heart, those desires that would lead us astray. We need to daily be seeking God's hand and his leading in our life. Today, as we wrap up the Lord's Prayer, I just want to encourage you to take those three things in addition to what we've shared in previous weeks. And if you missed the previous weeks, those messages are online. But I want us to end today by reciting the Lord's Prayer together before the worship team comes and leads us in a final song. But I pray that you would be reminded today of the Lord's Prayer of being a model prayer that can be recited, and we can take the words, and there's a power in reciting a prayer that the early church prayed. It connects us with something that's much bigger than this individual congregation. We're reminded of the fact that we are a part, and being a part of the body of Christ is to be a part of the church that transcends language, transcends geography, transcends time. We're a part of God's people. And when we recite this prayer, it reminds us of that truth. But I believe that Jesus, especially when in the Luke account, in presenting the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, in Jesus presenting these truths in a model prayer, he's reminding us that this focus is about us having our lives shaped and formed into a very specific way that puts us in a place where we can walk in the kingdom and the life that God calls us to. And so this week, I encourage you to, as you take time to spend time with the Father, that you go to the Lord in prayer, seeking to let these truths become a reality, not only in your words, but in your heart and in your attitude, so that we might truly, together, let God work in us and through us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and ask everyone to stand as we recite the Lord's Prayer together in closing. This isn't something we typically do. Some of you grew up in traditions that probably said this every week. And I think there's probably some benefit of us doing it a little bit more often. But the words are going to be on the screen if you don't know it. But let's recite the Lord's Prayer together as we close. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.